From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Linda Powers from Toucan Capital is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about the emerging world of stem cell therapeutics.
Linda Powers is a co-founder and managing director of Toucan Capital, a $140 million venture capital fund based in Bethesda, Maryland. Toucan Capital focuses on seed and early-stage life science and advanced technology investments. The company has a strong interest in adult stem cell therapies. Linda, what is the significance of the FDA's recent approval of Geron's human embryonic stem cell therapy for the treatment of spinal cord injuries?
Well, this is a very big milestone because being the first clinical trial with an embryonic stem cell product, it's opening the door to the world of clinical applications with this whole new category of embryonic stem cells. Adult stem cells have been in the clinic for a number of years now and making good headway, but the whole world has been waiting impatiently for the day when embryonic could also enter the clinic as well as adult. So this is the beginning of a new era.
How specifically will the agency's decision give a boost to the development of stem cell therapies?
So this is really interesting. Of course, you know, one way is specifically with this particular product, with this particular disease or condition, spinal cord injury. But it will also, I think, give a boost in a number of broader ways that I'll describe. I mean, the specific one that's obvious, the product turns out to be safe in patients, which is the primary focus of a phase one trial, the first trial, which this is. That will already tell us quite a bit. And if we get a glimpse of efficacy, a glimpse of whether the cells can get the job done in terms of helping to restore some function that had been lost in this particular condition, that will tell us a lot about the specific case. But, you know, that's been talked about a lot by a lot of people, and what I haven't really seen talked about is some of the broader ways that I really think this is going to have an effect. First of all, we're going to learn a lot from this trial on a number of key aspects of the biology of embryonic stem cells, which we've all been, you know, the research community has been researching and debating and trying to figure out, but the only way we can find out is to actually do it. So some examples of that are, first of all, are embryonic stem cells going to turn out to trigger an immune reaction in the patient that receives them? Differing views in the research community, and at least with this case, we'll see. What is the immunogenicity, the immune effect of these cells? Of course, as I already mentioned, we're going to see not only the safety as for this particular medical condition, but also the broader safety issue that everyone has been worrying about and debating, which is tumorigenicity. Do the embryonic stem cells form little tumors? Because the embryonic stem cells are taken at a source, at a stage in development where cell cycle controls haven't developed yet. So that's another aspect of safety. We'll also learn kind of the distribution. Once you put the cells into a patient's body, where do they go? What do they do when they get there? These are some of the key questions about the general biology of the embryonic stem cells that we'll learn about. That's one whole set of things. Another whole set of things that I hope that will be another way that the agency's decision will boost the field is, frankly, to attract a lot of attention and a lot of excitement and hopefully start to free up some capital flows. You know, a lot of capital has been sitting on the sidelines waiting for some of the biology questions to be sorted out and for some of the regulatory questions. And if this could help unstick some capital, that would be huge. So I think those are some of the ways.
I think some of these issues you mentioned up will probably be looked at very closely in the Geron trial. What may have influenced FDA's decision to give Geron the go-ahead at this time? And secondly, what role might have President Obama's election and long-term public support for human embryonic stem cell research played in the agency's decision?
Well, this is a very interesting question. Of course, both the agency and the company, Geron, have been very clear in saying that the timing is purely a coincidence and that the agency's decisions are science-based and that this application by Geron was, you know, in the regulatory pipeline for a while. And, you know, there's no way for any of us to know, except all I can say is I really hope and like to think that the strong tide of public support, as well as the change of administration, at least figured in the background of the agency's decision. No, it wouldn't be overriding the science, but at least in the background, maybe making the timing a little sooner, the pathway a little smoother, because after all, you know, the agency is supposed to be, you know, the guardian of safety and effectiveness of medical products, but it's supposed to do so in a balanced way that reflects, you know, the needs of the public and the country's healthcare system. So we can't know, but I hope it was part of it.
With all the attention focused on human embryonic stem cell research, do you think work with human adult stem cells has received short shrift? And if so, why?
I really do. This is a particular sensitivity of mine. It's so frustrating. It's really frustrating. You know, I think that adult stem cells have really gotten short shrift and have been treated like second-class citizens, like cells that, you know, they're often said that they really can't do much that's useful medically. They really can't fix any of these medical conditions that we're worried about. And they really have, you know, a bit been in the shadows. If you read, you know, news coverage and policy debates, it's all dominated by discussion of embryonic stem cells. And I think the reason why is principally because the research community, for whatever reason, is overwhelmingly more interested in the research aspects of embryonic stem cells than adult stem cells. I mean, there are terrific scientists who are working on adult stem cells. That is true. But the vast majority of the research community, at least that gets coverage in the public media and discussions and policy debates, is regularly telling the world that only embryonic stem cells can really do anything medically useful, and only those can turn all the tissue types and all that. And meanwhile, adult stem cells are doing a really terrific job in a number of medical conditions.
Can you provide some examples of successful applications of adult stem cells to treat human disease?
Yeah, there are lots of them. I think people would be astonished to know about all of the ones that there are. So let's just take a couple of examples. There are adult stem cell products not only in clinical trials but already on the market. For example, the cartilage product that Genzyme has had for a number of years, and there are skin replacement such as Dermagraft, products like that. And these are not products that I or my companies have any involvement in. These are products that are on the market. They're first-generation products. Are they perfect? No. Have they been an economic success? Not really. But what they have been is they've been medically useful in addressing the medical conditions such as chronic wounds, diabetic ulcers, severe burn wounds, you know, important medical conditions. Okay, now, the more important is there are nearly 200 clinical trials underway with adult stem cells. It's in a vast array of medical conditions. And these are not just the beginning phase one trials. These are phase two and phase three trials that have shown already results. So we can look at the results. We can say, are they getting results? Answer, yes. I mean, just to tick off a few examples, graft versus host disease, that kills 50% of patients in the first 100 days. A number of companies have developed mesenchymal stem cell products to resolve and put into remission graft versus host disease and to stop it from either killing or damaging the patient. Another example of an inflammatory disease, Crohn's disease, which is very debilitating. People get their whole colons chopped out for this. Well, the mesenchymal stem cells have done a very nice job in the majority of patients in the clinical trials where they've been tried. Other examples include regrowing hair. They include facial rejuvenation, where various kinds of cells, adipose tissue-derived stem cells or skin-derived stem cells, have been injected under the skin and have helped to regenerate more collagen and improve the skin condition. So everything from cosmetic-type applications, such as regrowing hair and facial rejuvenation, onto serious medical conditions, cardiac bone regrowth of non-union bone fractures. These are all ones that have been clinical trials with successful, effective results in the patients in clinical trials, all done by adult stem cells. So those are just some of the examples.
You have a pretty significant number of stem cell and regenerative medicine companies in Toucan Capital's portfolio. Tell us about the promising research taking place at a few of these companies, and also which ones are already in or close to carrying out clinical trials with adult stem cells and for which indications.
We do have a large portfolio of stem cells and regenerative medicine and immune therapy companies. In fact, our portfolio is the only large portfolio of these companies that we know of in the world. I mean, there will be more. People will build portfolios of these, but so far ours is the largest and the only large one that we know of. We have 16 companies in the regenerative medicine space. Now, this covers a spectrum of companies. Some of them are developing tools, things like three-dimensional tissues in a dish that can be used for drug discovery and that can be used for also testing the safety and toxicity of drug candidates. And this can help reduce the amount of animal testing, and it can help improve the accuracy of the data that's generated because you're using human tissues. I'll come back to a couple of those examples. So those are tools. We also have more than half of the 16 companies, in fact, close to two-thirds of them, are developing therapeutic products rather than tools products. These range from liver repair, orthopedic repair, skin and facial repair. It's a wide spectrum of kinds of therapeutics. And lastly, we have some services companies that are doing the biomanufacturing, the clean room manufacturing of these living cell products, which is a highly specialized form of manufacturing that's going to become a whole new manufacturing industry in the future. Among the companies that we have that are in clinical trials, some of the most exciting ones, well, one of the most exciting ones is an immune therapy for cancer, which uses living cells, which are dendritic cells, immune cells. We personally consider all the living cell products, whether they're stem cells, whether they're differentiated tissue cells, or they're immune cells, to be all in the broad category. These cancer vaccines using the immune cells are personalized, they're non-toxic, and they have more than doubled the survival time of patients in things like brain cancer, prostate cancer, and now we're in ovarian. Another example that's more of a directly stem cell product that's just at the stage of beginning clinical trials is for liver repair. We have the clinical trial cleared and ready to go in both the United States and India, and I'm proud to say we are the first ones in India in liver, anything having to do with liver repair, and that's a big deal because liver is to Asia what heart is to the West, number one killer. And these this trial is using liver stem cells to repair degenerated liver, which typically comes from hepatitis. And a lot of people don't know that liver is a big issue or will be in the future for the U.S. because we have a ticking time bomb with nearly 4 million cases of hepatitis C. Another example, a third example, we're very close within less than a year of being ready to start clinical trials in stroke with bone marrow-derived stem cells. So it's a variety of different kinds of medical products in or on the threshold of clinical trials.
What are the names of these companies that are doing these trials?
So in the case of the cancer company, that's Northwest Biotherapeutics. In the case of the liver repair, that's Vesta Therapeutics. In the case of the stroke trial, that's Theradigm. And in the case of the biomanufacturing, that's Cognate Bioservices.
What's needed from the financial, political, regulatory, and public acceptance arenas to make stem cell and regenerative medicine part of the menu, the full menu of therapeutic approaches in applied in clinical medicine?
Basically, for starters, open-mindedness. You know, we need open-mindedness on the biology, on the medical and healthcare delivery aspect, on the funding aspect, and on the business model. You know, there's been a lot of conventional wisdom that, you know, these kinds of products will never fly. They'll never be able to be affordable. They'll never be able to be scaled up. They'll never be able to be consistent, reliable production. Lots of different naysaying. I think that as clinical trials progress and deliver the results, you know, there needs to be an open-mindedness on the part of the regulatory authorities to embrace the result and not keep making the same requirements to be demonstrated over and over and over again. You know, once you've shown that bone marrow-derived mesenchymal stem cells are safe and they haven't produced any tumors in the first 50 or 100 patients, you know, one should be at a different level of regulatory hurdle for the next 100 patients and so forth. In other words, to be more practical. In terms of the product as they develop, we need the physicians to be open-minded and willing to try living cell products instead of conventional drugs for a number of things. For example, autoimmune diseases are a good example. You know, we have well-established blockbuster drugs that are generating large revenues for diseases like multiple sclerosis, but they're not delivering a repair or even a durable treatment of the symptoms. And we need physicians to be open-minded to, you know, try a new paradigm and not to have to wait until 3,000 patients have been treated with, you know, umpteen different placebo-controlled trials and so forth. If these things are safe and showing reasonable effectiveness, let's try them sooner rather than later. And lastly, in the financial community, as indicated, let's not just have conventional wisdom. Let's look case by case at each product and each target market and each price point and see the economics of it compared to the huge scale of expenditure today. It's just treating symptoms and not solving the conditions.
Earlier, Linda, we talked about the impact, if at any, President Obama's election had on the Geron clinical trial. You talk to a lot of people in the stem cell community. What's the general feeling you're getting about President Obama and, again, his support for stem cell research? Are they optimistic that he is going to be able to get a lot of these initiatives going and maybe help provide or give a greater sense to this openness towards acceptance of these therapies that you were just talking about?
He certainly can do. And I think everyone is very excited and very hopeful that he will do. You know, there were a number of very tantalizing hints or indications by some of the senior staffers around Obama during the late stages of the campaign to the effect that there would be a regime change in a big way on the whole subject of stem cells, and that would be one of President Obama's first subjects to tackle. Now, everybody understands the economy has deteriorated so much more and faster than previously expected. You know, the president's a little busy. I think there's a bit of concern, though, about whether the president's going to end up really choosing to make as big a step, as soon a step, as had been anticipated. And the concern there is that President Obama has made a couple of remarks that he might not go the executive order route. He might instead prefer to have Congress do legislation and deliver legislation for him to sign. I mean, you know, either way that gets the result is great, but I think it will be much preferred, shorter, splashier, more impactful if he does it himself. And I think there's a bit of worry about that at this point.
Linda, you are a major advocate for the establishment of a biomanufacturing industry for the production and processing of stem cells and other living cells as an important business segment of the American economy. Would you elaborate?
Yes. Well, living cell products, we believe, are going to completely transform or greatly transform the practice of medicine. It's going to be an entire new armamentarium of types of products and types of treatment approaches. Well, to do all that, you have to produce those products. You have to manufacture them. And the process of clean room manufacturing of living cell products is fundamentally different than certainly than the production of, you know, small molecule drugs, but it's even fundamentally different than the production of biologics, you know, antibody drugs, that kind of thing. For example, if you were to visit a manufacturing facility that produces biologics, it would look a lot like a beer brewery, big vats, big fermenters, downstream filtration and processing, all that. Well, if you visit a manufacturing facility for living cell products, it looks totally different. It doesn't look anything like a beer brewery. It looks like a bunch of bench units or desks with glass fronts. These are biosafety cabinets that all of the cell products are made in today, because today it's a manual process. So first point is it's a specialized manufacturing. I think if that regenerative medicine is going to revolutionize medicine, then we're going to need huge scale of production to make these products. I mean, the kinds of diseases and conditions that these stem cell products are going to treat, we're talking millions of patients a year potentially in the U.S. market alone. For example, stroke, 750,000 new cases a year in the U.S. alone. Heart attacks, 1.5 million a year in the U.S. So, I mean, on and on, these are huge numbers. That's going to be a huge industry. So there's going to be a lot of jobs, and this is a real manufacturing industry of the future. And if the U.S. misses this window, it's just going to be a tragedy. Because the jobs, there's a whole spectrum of jobs from, you know, different levels of technician from basic on up to quite senior and on up from there to scientists, PhDs, and up. And the technician level jobs are exactly the fantastic manufacturing jobs that have disappeared, evaporated from Detroit and the rest of this country. The technicians can make $40,000-$50,000 a year without a college degree. And it's interesting, high value, knowledge based manufacturing. But the rest of the world is no dummy, and they've noticed this too. And there are other countries making a specific targeted push on biomanufacturing, and we speak to them all the time. They offer huge incentives to bring our biomanufacturing of the cell products there. So the U.S. can either grab this opportunity or not. And initially, it's going to be a manual process, and then it's going to be successive waves of all kinds of supply and related technologies, as well as the jobs themselves. For example, automation. This industry is not automated yet. It's not industrialized yet. That's going to be a whole nother wave. So it's huge.
I want to conclude the interview by asking you to take out your crystal ball. Talk about how you see stem cells and regenerative medicine transforming clinical and medical practice over the next decade.
You know, it's so exciting. You know, we sit around and sort of try to envision all the many things, the ways in which medicine could be transformed. And, you know, it's really hard to even imagine them all. But even just the ones that we can imagine, it's going to just so change people's lives, because broad categories of really debilitating diseases and conditions that quote-unquote modern medicine can't do anything for today. You know, the whole category of neurodegenerative diseases, whether it's stroke or Parkinson's or Lou Gehrig's disease or injuries, not degenerative, but injuries like spinal cord or traumatic brain injury, or whether it's heart repair or whether it's metabolic, you know, replacing organs or restoring organs, whether it's livers or pancreatic islets or even kidneys. End-stage renal disease is one of the biggest costs to the Medicare, Medicaid system today. It's over $125 billion a year. And all of these categories, and of course orthopedic as well, all of these categories are things that today there essentially is nothing for, but as we look in the picture, the crystal ball of the future, the physicians of the future will have all these products to choose from, cells, tissues, and then they'll have a spectrum. If it's a small repair job, they can just use a small dose of the cells in suspension administered intravenously. If it's a big job, you have to repair a whole lobe of a liver, something like that, they can do it as an implant. It's just an entire new era.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.